India. And Pastor Paul Ross, yeah, apart from being, or in addition, I should say, to being a local pastor of a congregation and ministry in that way, as a family, which I'm sure he'll share a bit about, as well as working on heading a ministry called Ministry of Mercy. And this is the ministry that the Roth family have been serving with. And Pastor Paul Ross, we welcome you to the pulpit this morning and look forward to hearing what God has laid upon your heart this morning.
I'm so much blessed to be here with you. When I came to Canada, I told Reverend Dak, before I leave from Canada, I want to see snow. The Lord sent the snow about 10 days ago already. I enjoyed that. And this morning, I was so glad to see the water turned into ice. That also kind of surprised for me to see. You know, being in Canada, the Lord has been so good to keep me in good health. And I'm very well taken care by the Ducks, by their house. And I have a great time of visiting several churches and people groups. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity that I'm given, that I could come over here to be with God's people. Being with the Ducks and other leaders of this wonderful church, I feel very much home. So since I feel very much home, I don't know how long I'm going to speak. But anyway, I try to keep my time. Anyway, I'm thankful to God. And this morning, I would like to, firstly, I would like to introduce the ministry that God has been doing through us, through the support of several God's people, you, Reverend Tag, and many friends here. And I want to do the presentation in acknowledgement of God's people's participation in our ministry. As you have heard already, that I'm Paul Raj, and I'm blessed with a family, two children we have. In addition to that, another 57 children. Those children are the ones God has brought to us with you, that we may raise them in a Christian environment so that eventually they should become a testimony for God's love and compassion in Indian context. So we... I would like to give the presentation. Okay, first the welcome note here. You see, Bethel House India is the one that is founded by Reverend Jack and his friends here in Canada. And I'm very thankful to God, especially to this church, for having considered him that he may be sent or that he could come over to India to partner with us in this wonderful ministry of raising another generation of testimony for God's love. So the couple in the middle are the ones who actually raised my wife Kasturi beginning from her 4 years of age. So they invested in the life of Kasturi, and she could be able to be a blessing for innumerable children. And we are very thankful to God. And Kasturi was supported by a German couple all the way in Germany. All the way from here, through Reverend David, supported Kasturi. And that transformed her life, though she was born in a Hindu family, that she could eventually become a child of God and a wife of a missionary, that she can be a blessing for many people. So likewise, me too. Though I was born in a Christian family, my parents were not able to support me or offer me higher studies. But because of a scholarship called Christian Endowment Scholarship from Germany, I was able to get my higher studies. Because of that, I was able to do my seminary theological training. Eventually, I can become a missionary in India. And God has been using us for the blessing of many. As you have heard, we have two congregations in the city, Vellore. One Tamil, the other one in English. In addition to that, we have 5 house churches in the nearby villages. We also have a ministry for the children, those who do not have parents. Now we are working towards establishing another wonderful project called the Bethel Life Home, through which we seek to assist women with pregnancy crisis, and rescue infants, those who are thrown away, those who are considered unwanted by the parents. So God has been using us. The very reason God has been using us as a blessing to many is because someone from somewhere did something that our life may be transformed, and that transformation can be a means for the transformation of many, many people in Indian context. So, in fact, the very reason I am here is to acknowledge God's people's participation in the works of mission in India. So I am here to acknowledge you and what you do for the sake of mission through your church, for the glory of God. It really makes a great impact in the lives of many people. Maybe you do not have a chance to see, but today, this morning, as the Lord has brought me here, giving me this opportunity to present what we are doing, is a testimony. What you do for the work of mission, especially in overseas countries like in the third world countries like India, would never go in vain. And so I want you to encourage with this presentation. As we move on, we see these children, those who stay with us at our Grace Foster Home. All of them, they are about to go to school, and they are all very happy because of this wonderful place. And next we see that children, those who study in English medium, only would have a bright future in the days to come. So we consider sending some children to English medium private school, wherein they can study English and eventually may have more opportunities with regard to their higher studies. And as we go on, we have difficulty with our building facilities. So we had been praying to the Lord that we may have a piece of property in which we can have our own building. When Reverend Jag was in India, he visited us. At that time, we took him to a particular piece of land, and there we stood on the land asking God for his help that we may buy this property. The Lord answered our prayers, provided for the needed support with which we were able to buy this property. Then once we bought the property, we wanted to develop it, so we were in need of water. We didn't have enough of money to put a bore well on the property, so we wrote to Reverend Jack if he can do some help. In fact, he shared that need with several of his friends here in Canada, and their love gift was used that with which we were able to put a bore well. And that was dedicated when Reverend Jack visited us in the month of February this year. And Reverend Jim Stanley is at the back, and we are very thankful for the people, those who are behind this gift. As we go on, we see that we were able to put a multipurpose building in our land, and we look forward to more such building facilities in the days to come. And we want you to pray and uphold us for our upcoming building projects. This is a model plan that we have, in which we wish to house 50 plus children, those who do not have homes or parents. This is a model plan that we have, which would have a facility, a chapel, in which they will have their time of prayer and all that. We also seek to put facility to house parent, young widows as well as young mothers with crisis pregnancy, wherein they can stay and parent the children whom we care for. So this is how we want to connect between those two groups. We want you to pray for that. As we move on, we can see, as we are in the ministry of taking care of children at our orphanage, we often come across Christian couples coming and asking us if they can adopt a baby, if it is available. But we don't have any babies with us. But in Indian context, often we come across news that babies are thrown out, dumped in dustbin, left in the hospital unattended. And so that's the kind of reality that we see around in Indian context. So the Lord put a burden in our hearts that we may work in such a way to rescue such babies. Maybe I'll have a clip that you can see that. And it's quite horrible to see, basically. It's not a happy picture to see at all. But this is the thing that we see on the newspaper on a regular basis in Indian context. As we move on, we, with the help of God, would like to help Christian couples that they may have an opportunity to adopt a child that is unwanted for somebody but wanted at a loving Christian home. So through our Bethel Life Home project, we want to connect these two groups. Babies or infants, those who are considered unwanted, we want to rescue them and give it to a couple, a Christian couple, that they may have the opportunity to raise, and the child might be able to be raised in a Christian home. That's how we want to connect both and help in building happy Christian families. So we want you to pray for that. And this little baby, Sophia, actually was brought to us by its own biological parents on the fifth day since the baby was born, telling, "We don't want this baby." You know, they told, "Receive the baby, if not, we will throw away somewhere." So we told them that we have friends, we can talk to them, and they would be very happy to have this baby. In fact, I informed a couple of my friends if they would be happy to come and take the baby. No one came. But eventually, I had an opportunity to meet with Reverend Dak's friend. And Dak's friend's wife, Karen, is the one whom you see on the picture. And when I was having a conversation with Graham Lambert, and he had already adopted three children, those who were considered unwanted by the people there. And when he was talking with us, he told me, "Now we are ready to adopt our fourth baby, and the baby should be a girl baby. Since you are running an orphanage, if at all you ever come across a situation that a baby brought to you by some means asking us to be adopted, please let us know. We are ready to adopt. Already a baby is there waiting for somebody to be adopted, and here is a man telling us, if there is a baby available, please let us know." So it was so amazing how the Lord connects family. So God used us in a way that we can connect this, and she is such a happy child in their home. And they have another four children already adopted by them, those who were unwanted by their own biological parents or left uncared or thrown out somewhere. So we are thankful to God to use us. As we go on, we can see that the sanctity of life has been a kind of underestimated in Indian context. Maybe because that India has got a large amount of population, I presume. Right? India has got 1.2 billion people. Quite a huge. The second largest in the world. And it's really needed to talk about the importance of life, because every child that is ever born on this earth is born with the image of God. You know, it is necessary to teach men and women to know the greatness of human life. So when Reverend Dag was with us, we organized a couple of seminars in which we brought the messages, training, and with you to train the local pastors. And we are very thankful for that, for having sent Reverend Dag to be of some help in Indian context. As we move on, we have Dr. Ronald Carey, one of our church members, and he is working in a huge hospital called Christian Medical College and Hospital, which is functioning in the city Vellur, where from I am coming. And this hospital is one of the biggest hospitals in South Asia, with 1,200 beds, I believe. So we have our church members being medical professionals. They are willing to be part of this ministry and help women with pregnancy crisis, and also to rescue infants so that happy Christian families may be built in Indian context. So we will ask you to pray for our ministry. Maybe move on, please. Okay, here you see Kasturi with a little boy. His name is Apun Raj, and he and his elder sister, Saundarya, they are staying with us at our home. And they are such a very happy children. And their parents, they both died on the very same day. In the morning, the mother poisoned herself. And in the evening, their father poisoned himself and died within the same day. Within 12 hours, both children became orphans. They were brought to us if we can provide them support. We wanted to support them, but our financial condition was very challenging. still we embraced them in us, in our home, hoping that the Lord would provide the means. We wrote to Reverend Jack. That was the time we came in contact with Reverend Jack, if he can consider helping Apun Raj and Soundarya, and like that, other five additional children. So there were about seven children, those who were in need of support and sponsorship. So we asked him if we can help. Straight away he said yes, and he raised necessary funds, and through which we were able to support these children. So I am here to thank you for helping these children. You know how their life is being transformed. Maybe if you can see the next clip, you would see that. Maybe stop this, it's a bit lengthy clip. You can hear him very often saying, Yesu Appa. Yesu Appa means Jesus, my father. Though I do not have my biological parent, father, I have you as my father, the eternal father. I am thankful. I pray for my sponsors, those who support me. I pray for my friends, those who study with me. Bless them. That's what his prayer. And this prayer is possible because of somebody here in Canada chose to support a child like Apun Raj. So God has been making a great transformation in the life of children because of somebody's support, and we are very thankful for that. Before I conclude this part, actually Reverend Doug has to do it, but maybe we'll move on. He will address you later on as I finish it. Okay, so I'm thankful again for giving me the opportunity to present our ministry. Please continue to uphold us and pray for us. And what you do for the sake of God, for the works of mission in India, doesn't go in vain. Be encouraged, please. I think it's time for us to turn into our Bible and meditate upon God's word for us this morning. Let's turn with me to Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the salt of the earth. I'm sure most of us might have seen the entertaining movie Tom and Jerry. It's not only for the children anymore, even the adult older ones at times tend to see that movie. In fact, I like that series, right? Tom and Jerry, very interesting. Always it is the case Jerry would win the battle. Imagine if Jerry would lose the battle to Tom. Would we be happy? I'm sure not, right? So it is destined or picturized, Jerry would always win the battle and we are happy and satisfied. It is destined, Tom should always lose. If something goes different, we are not happy. When Jesus, using a metaphor here, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt would lose its saltiness, it would become good for nothing. It would become good for nothing. It would be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. We, being the children of God this morning, are reminded with the same verse that we are the salt of this earth. We'll try to study what God expects from us as he makes mention that we are the salt of this earth. As the Lord uses this metaphorical language, of course, we can see three things. When I studied in seminary, I was taught to keep 3 points at least in my sermon. And so I want to keep those 3 points this morning with you. Well, in the first place, we see salt as the substance. Salt is the substance that Jesus is using in his preaching. And we see he also making mention of salt, he referring to a group of people, the subject. And third, when he is using this metaphorical language, he is also speaking about a service, a commission, a ministry, a word that the people of God should do. So we see the substance and the subject and the service that is involved. Well, here, maybe some nowadays we can very well see that when we express our love or affection to somebody that we really love, we use terminologies like honey, sweetheart, and there are many more, right? Even when I write any letter to my wife, Kasturi, I normally write, dear, dear. Because Kasturi is another name for a kind of breed, a deer breed, right? So, I don't think she would be happy if I say, dear salt, right? I'm sure she won't be happy. But, at the time of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you won't be surprised if somebody would come and appreciate you, dear salt. Because nowadays salt is available enough for every human being, and we have all kinds of scientific process to keep it clean and pure that we can consume. And so we don't consider salt as something very precious. But think of 2,000 years ago. When Jesus was on this earth, salt was one of the precious commodities. Countries that had access to pure salt were very rich because it involved a lot of commerce. In those days, when certain parts of land, especially in Palestine area where Jesus ministered, the soil was quite acidic. So in order to prepare the salt to become cultivatable, they would season the land with some salt, then it would become usable. At the same time, too much of anything is good for nothing. Sometimes when the kings fight war with other countries, and they will bring a lot of salt and put it on the land, and the land would become unusable. Cannot be used for cultivation for another 5 to 10 years, and so the people have to depend upon the king for everything. So likewise, we should understand when Jesus uses his metaphorical language, how great appreciation that he has for the people, those who followed him. We should not understand this from the perspective of what salt plays a role even today. Of course, still salt plays a very major role even today. No doubt about it. But understand from the perspective of Jesus. From the time of Jesus, when time was ministry. To add another point, the very word salary is actually derived from the word salt. Because the Roman soldiers in those days were paid a portion of salary as their salary. A portion of salt as their salary. So the word salary is actually derived from the word salt. So from all this we can understand, when Jesus, using this metaphorical language, pointing at his followers, you are the salt of this earth, he is actually telling them, you are very precious. You are of great worth. You are of very much needed on this earth. You are the salt of this earth. And so this morning the Lord wants us to tell us, be reminded with the fact and reality that we are the salt of this earth. Somebody say hallelujah. We are very precious. We are of great value and worth before the sight of the Lord. Normally when people think that, oh, going to church, doing things subjected to the church, or being the ministry and all, are useless. Those people, they don't have anything to do, so they go after the activities of church. It's not so. It's not so. Because of God's people life, the world is being preserved. As we move on, we can see the subject. In fact, when Jesus used this phrase, he didn't straight away open when there were all kinds of people. In fact, we know this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, this verse is from Jesus preaching from the Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Matthew, we have five such discourses. And this is the first discourse of Jesus, which is the biggest and longest discourse. We know that. Well, when he was saying this, this group doesn't have the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were not considered salt of the earth, but only the followers of Jesus. Those who are chose to follow him, those who choose to stay with him. And their characteristics are mentioned in the preceding verses. If we read verses 3 to 12, we would know about it. Blessed are the ones, those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are the ones, those who mourn. Blessed are the ones, those who are meek. Blessed are the ones, those who are hunger after the righteousness. Such people actually were considered nothing by that time of Pharisees and Sadducees. Those who are poor, those who are weak, those who are not much educated, they were considered useless by the people of that time. But God, pointing at that sort of a people, telling them, you are the salt of this earth. That is their characteristics, right? That's their character. Those who are normally, when we are humble, when we are simple, being because of God's people, we often kind of give up. We sacrifice several things, even our own rights. Maybe in the sight of the world, the sight of the people of this world, we may be considered nothing. But in the sight of the Lord, we are very precious. When Jesus is using this language, he is saying in a way of indicative, right? It's an indicative sense, okay? It's not an imperative sense, okay? It is an indication. Jesus didn't say, you try to become a salt. He didn't say, try and live in a way that you can behave like salt. No, he didn't say that. Already he's saying, you are the salt of this earth. That means, every child of God, when they become a child of God, already they are instantly, a great transformation takes place in them and they become salt of this earth. That means they become useful to others. No matter what is their capacity, no matter what they have studied, no matter whether they are fit for existence or not, but as soon as every child of God, when they become a child of God, they are transformed to become a salt. That means they are transformed in such a way that they can live a life that can impact others around. When we see in the scripture, often we see God is able to use women. God is able to use children. God is able to use slaves for greater results. If he turn back to the Old Testament, the same God is living today and he is able to use every one of us. Maybe I would want to tell you, if at all your church leaders or pastors would come and tell you, brother and sister, why don't you consider this responsibility? Do this. Never say, I don't know. Never say, I'm not eligible. Never say, I'm unworthy. It is God who has transformed our life. And it is God who is able to use us for his service. And so let's be available to be used for God's glory. Now as we move on to our third point, we see when Jesus is telling this, he is apparently talking about a service that we are expected to render to the people around. We are expected to do something. We know how salt is being used, for what salt is being used. Years ago, when the refrigerators were not invented, it was salt the only means with which materials like food were preserved. Okay, in order to keep the food going decay, people used salt to preserve it. Likewise, it is God used Christians in such a way that the world may be protected. You see, when God wanted to bring judgment upon the people of in Genesis chapter 18 we see a beautiful conversation between God and Abraham. God wants to destroy the land wherein Lot was living. So Abraham intercedes with God. God, if there would be 50 righteous people, would you destroy that country? God says, no. If it is 45, no. 40, no. 30, 20, 10. He was praying that the people of God may be spared. You know, as we live on this earth, sin is growing everywhere, in every form. Sometimes we even feel, Lord, please come. The world is going beyond. Too much sin around. We are scared. How are our children going to face this world if the sin is growing like anything? We see. We pray at times, God, please come. In fact, God is able to destroy the whole world at any time. But still, God is preserving this world. God has been preserving His church. God has been gracious to this world because of the prayers of God's people. Because of the life of God's people like you and me. Somebody say hallelujah. Abraham did that. When Joseph was taken to Egypt, he lived a life that he can act like a salt. He lived a life that he can preserve not only the people of that part of the world, Egypt, but also his own people and families. We can see several examples. God's people, they live their life in such a way that they can be useful to others. Salt does the work of prevent things from decay. Salt does the work of preserves things. We are called to preserve life. We are called to live our life in such a way this may be useful for others. Being useful for others would also involve an element of sacrifice. It involves an element of sacrifice. When it comes to the issue of charity, when it comes to the issue of ministry, when it comes to the issue of church life, it involves an element of sacrifice. When pastor wants us to go with him for a house visit, probably we might need to give up some of our priorities and go with him for the sake of the church. It involves a certain amount of sacrifice from our part. Isn't that salt's work? When we use salt to be used for our food, if the salt just remains the same, would we be happy? When the salt is used for where it has to be used, it gets dissolved. It loses its shape. It loses its very existence. Isn't it? That's how we, the people of God, when we are available for God and His church work and His mission, it involves a certain aspect of sacrifice from our side. Sacrifice from our side. Isn't that Jesus? Isn't that Jesus did for us? God sent not only His prophets. God sent not only His appointed, not only His kings. God appointed not only the priests to help the people of God in the past. Eventually, Jesus Himself came to this earth. God sent His only begotten Son. And that's where sacrifice plays a role. That's where sacrifice plays a role. We can give. Somebody said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot love without giving. And that's what God did for us on the cross. He sent His only begotten Son. The point here, how I can be useful. I have some money. Okay, I can give. To the point where I am not really disturbed. Where I am not really brought into difficulty. Okay, so far, so good. Okay, I do that. I am safer in this circle. No, that's not sacrifice at all. I do something in a way, to some point it should hurt me. And that's where the real sacrifice is. What I'm trying to say, We, the people of God, living in a country like Canada, are very much blessed. And we should live a thankful life to God. We should teach our children they should not waste food. They should be informed that innumerable children around the world do not have 3 meals a day. Our children must be taught. How many times we tell our children? We should teach and train our young people. When they begin to earn a living, when they begin to work and earn money, we should teach them how they should use their money and how they can be useful to the church, how they can be useful to the missions of the church. And that's where we really play a role, that we are living a life of usefulness. Jesus also is making a point of a warning here. What is the warning? If the salt would lose its saltiness, it becomes good for nothing. But I'm sure if there is any chemist here, of course most of us would know. Have you ever seen an amount of salt without its saltiness? Nobody might have seen. Jesus is saying this warning not because that salt would eventually lose its saltiness. No. Salt would never lose its saltiness. Any chemist would know that. But why Jesus is saying this? It is possible for the people of God sometime remain indifferent. When there are times when we have to speak up, we have to speak up. When there are injustice, when we need to raise our voice, we have to raise our voice. When there are things where we are expected to do some work, we should be willing to do some work. If we fail to do that, that means we are losing our saltiness. Or else we are resisting our saltiness. God is warning us this morning. If we lose our saltiness, if we fail to play our role where we have to, we are actually just choose to remain as anybody in the world. We are not called to be like that. We are not called to be like that. God has a greater expectation in our life. But often what we say, we are a church, Christians are very small in number. But the ungodly people around are too much. How I can influence? How I can do something? No. So, it's not my business. It's not a place where I can speak up. I'm helpless. I cannot do anything. Because the people of the opposite, they are huge in number. I think we don't have to say that. Didn't Jesus tell us? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Didn't Jesus tell us in Matthew 13:33, we read, a little bit of old dove can leaven all of a new dove and cause it to rise. We can impact. No matter how small we are, no matter how inefficient we are, we can impact the whole world. And that's what happened in my very life. An young missionary all the way from America came to my little town, served the Lord just for 1 year. Just for 1 year. In his age of 27, he went to be with God. And he wanted to cross the river. He was drowned in the river and died. But in the same town, there are innumerable Christians because of one person's sacrificial ministry. Because of that one person, my whole town, the regions around, innumerable people have become Christians. So we don't have to say ever that I'm alone. We don't have to say ever that I'm little. We don't have to say Christians are small, so cannot influence. No, we can bring a greater impact, a greater transformation when we are willing to step a little more up. When we are willing to do something extra. How I can use my time. How I can use the means that God gives to me. How best I can use it for His glory. How best I can do something for others. When we seek to calculate things, being conscious of things around, we can live this life for the glory of God. We can bring a greater transformation around the people of this earth. let's be challenged with this one illustration. I studied in a college wherein many poor students were raised up. And another friend of mine had a sponsor, and that sponsor is from U.S., I believe. And that sponsor all of a sudden met with an accident and died. And so his wife began to write to that boy friend of mine saying, I'm sorry that tell you that my husband died, and it does not mean the termination of the support that we send you. Rather, I choose a work with which I am able to support my family, but I want you to pray that my hair grow more. It was quite something different to hear from her. The reason she told, every time my hair grows more, I cut my hair, sell it, and that money I send to you, that you may be supported and continue your study. Isn't that sacrifice? Isn't that love for God? Isn't that love in act among God's people? Yes, we are reminded with the very fact. In order to show the love, God sent His only begotten Son. And He took a form of a man, and He humbled Himself, and He went all the way to the cross that we may have life eternity. As we live on this earth, let's dare to live a life that will impact the people around. And that life may bring many more souls unto the Lord for God's glory. Amen. Thank you.